Good morning. Will you turn to Matthew chapter 6, please? Matthew chapter 6. This is about birds and the kingdom. Birds and the kingdom. Here's the question. If I live the way Jesus says, who will take care of me? If I lay up treasures in heaven, not on earth, how am I going to survive? If we can only serve one Lord and serve God, not money, how will we have enough? If we live as Jesus says, who takes care of us? So Jesus answers these in chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. And he talks about God and nature to answer those questions. So our text begins at verse 25, but we're actually going to start with the end of verse 24. Pretend there is no verse division between verse 24 and verse 25, which there was not when this was written, and no heading in your Bible. Verses and headings help us find what we're looking for. That's good. But after that, they're a problem. They slice up the Bible into little pieces in a way that never occurred to the writer or the original readers. You can get versions of the Bible in print or download them with no verse numbers and no headings. If you're a Bible reader, you should try that. Read a short book of the Bible with no verse numbers and no headings. It's kind of a different experience. All right. Number one, what happens if we worry about not having enough? What happens if we worry about not having enough? You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Okay? You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about having enough. If we worry, we will try to serve both God and money. You can't do that, so don't worry. Jesus says, you cannot serve God and money, therefore I tell you, don't worry about having enough. I have certainly worried about not having enough in my time. If you're worried about this, how can you make that stop? I'm not sure you can, just make worry go away. But do this, folks. Live as if you're not worried. Even when you are worried, live as if you trust God to provide. Because if we just let worry get away with us, we will try to serve God and money. Number two, verse second half of verse 25. You're alive and you have a body, so don't worry. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? That's what Jesus said. He's arguing for don't worry. And to argue this, he says, is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Yes. Of course, life is more important than food, and the body is more important than clothes. But what's the point? Why is that a reason not to worry about food and or clothes? Jesus considers this a reason not to worry. I'm alive and have a body, so why should I worry about food or clothes? How does Jesus get there? The only way this is a reason not to worry is if a living body is a daily gift from God. This line of Jesus does not work any other way. Every day that I have life and have a body, every day, every hour, is a gift from God. And in the Bible, all of creation is attached to God by something like a great umbilical cord. And the reason things have life and carry on is because God is pouring life and pouring his care into earth steadily, 24/7. If God makes sure today that I have life and I have a body that works, if God keeps giving gifts like that, then, will he not also give what the body and life need, like food and clothes? That's what Jesus is thinking. How much do you have to change how you think about being alive and about your body for the logic of Jesus to work? I have to change a lot. I do not think about being alive and having a body like this, but I'm getting there. But anyway, that's what Jesus is assuming. These are steady gifts from God, life and a body. And if God has given you today those big gifts, will He not give you what they need? Look how God feeds the birds, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I once believed that God made robins to sense where the earthworms were, and He made woodpeckers to be able to pound into trees and dig out insects, and He made worms and insects, and that's how God feeds the birds. And I remember reading these verses thinking that way and realizing that doesn't work. If that's how God feeds the birds, there's still every reason to worry because it's still all up to me from here on. Jesus thinks God feeds the birds in my yard and the birds in your yard and the birds in the forest. Matthew 10 says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Not one of them falls to the ground without your Father." I chase this line back and forth in my mind. Not one of them falls to the ground without your Father. And the next line in Matthew 10 says, even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So Jesus is telling us that our Father is in business every day feeding birds. And if He's feeding birds, He's feeding a lot of other things. Psalm 104 says that when lions roar, they're asking God for food, and God feeds them too. So if God is active out there taking care of birds, says Jesus, how much more is He active taking care of you? And I kind of tend to believe that it's all up to us. And that's actually why I worry. Because I believe it's all up to us. But Jesus is saying, no, God's in the feeding and clothing business. Does worrying help? Verse 27. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Jesus never says there are no reasons to worry. He gives reasons why we should not worry. But He does not say there are no reasons for worry. The last line of our text will say, each day has enough trouble of its own. Listen, there are lots of reasons to worry. Let's keep that clear. That's true. Jesus, the cheerful pessimist, says there will be trouble every day. Jesus is not teaching a way to harness the power of God to get rid of trouble. Jesus is giving us a way to live each of these troubled days aim toward the Father. Jesus is giving us a way to live each of these troubled days aimed toward the Father. So this line, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life, gives one little reason not to worry that Jesus just has to add. It doesn't help. It does not help. Worrying is a way of trying to manage the troubles of the future. We try to figure out what we'll do about the troubles of the future, which most of the time don't happen, and sometimes they do, and lots of things happen we never imagined. How can we control a situation if it happens? Give up, says Jesus. You cannot manage or control it. The Father will be there. Let it go. It doesn't help. What does God do with flowers? Verse 28 to 30. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow was thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you little faiths? So, most of us are attracted to flowers. They are wonderful, and in many different ways. And when you look at a striking flower, a remarkable flower, how is God responsible for that? So, I had thought God made prairie roses and violets to look like prairie roses and violets. He sort of built it into their genetic code, if that's the right way to speak, of plants. And so they look like wild roses, and they look like violets. Nice work, God. But that does me no good if I'm worried about having enough. So I could not absorb the Lord's teaching here because I did not see creation as he saw it. Jesus thinks I can point my finger at any bird and say, that bird is eating today because God has taken care of it. I can point at any flower and say, God, that flower looks like that because God clothed that flower. And in such a way that I don't have to worry about food or clothing. So these verses in the last part of Matthew 6 have changed my view of God's presence in creation more than any other scripture. And Jesus is trying to teach us not to worry about our needs, and he is basing it on the care that the Father gives to all creation. Jesus assumes we are the most valuable part of Father's creation, and whatever Father does for the rest, he's going to do more for us. But we are skeptical about what kind of care the Father gives to creation, and that makes it hard for us to hear what Jesus means about the Father's care for us. But Jesus is clear. Listen to Jesus. And by the way, the way Jesus says this means that the Father is not a Scrooge about clothes. The Father likes nice clothes. The Father has some appreciation for color and shape and line. Flowers are not, the beauty of flowers is not utilitarian, and we are not required to be purely utilitarian, not that we ever are. But God clothes the flowers better than Solomon clothed himself, and God clothes us. How about that? God clothes the flowers, so don't worry. Seek first the Father's kingdom, verses 31 to 33. So don't worry saying, this is Jesus talking to us, don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Seek first the Father's kingdom and the Father's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So for Jesus, worrying about having enough and running after having enough are the same thing. Okay? Worrying about having enough and running after having enough are the same thing. See, our Lord is actually not that offended if we feel anxious or worried about having enough. It's unfortunate and not fun, but he's not really telling us to feel better. What Jesus really means is don't pursue having enough. Rather, pursue your Father's kingdom and righteousness. So my brothers and sisters, even if we are worried about not having enough, let's live as if we trust God completely. What are we pursuing? That's the question. Having enough ourselves or our Father's kingdom and righteousness? What are we after? What are we pursuing? Worrying will turn us into living like pagans. Living like a pagan is frantically trying to make sure we have enough. Jesus says, don't let that happen. Your Father knows what you need. He will provide. He takes care of birds, he takes care of flowers, he cares a lot more about you, and all these things will be given to you as well. Make your first priority his kingdom and his righteousness. Okay, what about work? Don't we provide for ourselves by working? So Jesus was talking to two different kinds of followers here in the Sermon on the Mount. On the one hand, followers like Peter and Andrew and James and John, who left jobs to follow Christ, as well as others like Mary and Martha and Lazarus, who kept their jobs and their homes. Work itself is the normal way in which we take what the Father gives. Okay, work is the normal way in which we receive our provision from God. And remember that strength and ability to work come from God. Moses said this to Israel, Deuteronomy 8, you may say to yourself, okay, this is Moses talking to the Israelites, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But, says Moses, remember the Lord your God, it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. The Lord your God gives you the ability to work and to produce wealth. So God says to us in Ephesians, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. And in 2 Thessalonians, Paul writes, even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. So the normal way to follow Jesus is to work honorably at a regular job. Some others, like Peter, were called away from regular jobs to serve by preaching and teaching the gospel and so on. But all must work, and this rule applies to all. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. Even the apostles, when the Lord sent them out, he said, the worker earns his wage. They did not live on charity. They had earned what people gave him. So, the birds that God feeds must work. That doesn't mean God's not feeding them. They're out there getting it all day long. Work is how we take the food and shelter from God's hands, and the strength to work itself and the ability are themselves daily gifts from God. And Moses says, remember this. And there are people who would like to work, but for some reason cannot. There are lots of that around, and this has always been true, and God takes care of those people as well, those people who would like to work but cannot. So the pagans work and God's people work. No difference there. God provides for birds and the flowers, and God provides for the pagans as well as for his children. Acts 14 and 17 are clear about that. But the pagans run after these things, and God's children do not, folks. And that difference has got to show. This is the difference that's got to show. The pagans run after these things, and God's children do not, because we know where it's coming from, and we pursue God, our Father, his kingdom, his righteousness. It is entirely possible for us to work hard at our jobs and to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is actually the normal situation, that we will work hard at our jobs and we will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what Jesus had in mind. To do that, though, we must stop worrying about the necessities of life and trust the Father who designs and gives life to each flower and who feeds every bird. Lastly, this section ends with Jesus, the cheerful pessimist, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You can worry, says Jesus. He gives us a small window of opportunity for worry. You can worry, but only about today. Only about today. Each day has plenty of troubles. Today, you can worry about today's troubles. There will be enough troubles tomorrow, that's for sure. Listen, folks, plenty of troubles tomorrow. Count on it. But today has enough of its own, so only worry about today's troubles. Today has plenty of troubles on its own. Only worry about today's troubles. And then Jesus gives us a big grin. He means it. But let's just live this way. Amen. Amen. Let's talk to our Father. Father, this is now May, and all around us, you are making sure the birds have enough to eat, and the flowers are just beginning, and you're in our yards, and you're in our fields, and in our forests, God, and you are clothing the flowers and feeding the birds. And I am inside my house, anxious about having enough, and how I will make this all work. For all the times you have taken care of us in the past, we thank you. Father, for all the days when you gave us energy to work and provide, we thank you. And Father, for all the days when we could not see how this would work out, but it did, we thank you. Father, that you know what we need and you're on it, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we believe what you said here. Send your Spirit, help our unbelief. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.